Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This will be good to dig into this one here today. I know there's been a lot of talk about it. We have a couple of people on board here. One of them is a plaintiff in this case that's recently been filed. Two legislators and one former legislator has filed a lawsuit against a couple of bills that shifted Montana's property taxes. And they're asking the judge to throw out Senate Bill 542. A couple of key reasons there. We're going to talk about that here today, but also go back into that 2025 session a little bit, because some of that carries over into 2027. Senate President Matt Regeer is with us, and Senate Majority Leader Tom McGillivray also today on the program here on Voices. And we've had an issue here that we've been exploring in Montana about our property taxes, right? We've been hit with an average of 21% increases in property taxes since 2023. There's a lot of reasons for that, a couple of key reasons, but the solutions for those have been, problematic, because I think our property tax system is a little bit problematic as well. You know, does it lead to an overall discussion about tax structure in Montana? I think ultimately it does. But what we're talking about here today is at least some measures that were passed to address property taxes and those increases, as I noted, some 20%, some higher than that. I think I looked at a stat a while ago that stated Montana's overall, this is since 2010, perhaps, our housing prices are up like 80%. And our tax structure was unable to really keep up with that. I think if we set this stage, we go back a few years, and I'll just have our legislators talk about that as well. They'll know when this happened, but we changed our evaluation of property taxes. We used to evaluate, I think, every 6 years. One of those evaluations, bam, it hit property taxes pretty hard. So then they changed that to 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. Well, that did the same thing. It also hit property taxes real hard. A lot of COVID-19 considerations and all of that. And also the fact that we haven't been building enough too. That is part of the background, I think, that enters this discussion today. And let's welcome our guests. And again, with our appreciation, it is Senate President Matt Regeer, Republican out of Kalispell, served a number of terms in the Montana House from 2017 to 2024, Speaker of the House during the 2023-24 session, and then elected to serve in the state Senate and also as Senate President in 2025. Good morning, Matt. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Tom, and good morning, Montana. Always great to be on the show.
Yeah, thank you
so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And Tom McGillivray is with us again as well. Tom, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Tom is a Republican, served as a majority leader in that last session, knows, as much as Matt does about the day-to-day challenges that happen in the legislature. And then, you know, what happens outside of those 90 days as well. Senator McGillivray, how are you, Tom?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I'm good. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I've been meaning to catch up with you, too, about, a convention of states as well. So we'll get to that. But I'm going to open up with you, Senate President Matt Regeer. Let's talk about property taxes, okay? There's a couple of groups out here. You're one of them, are saying, no, we've seen a government spending increase by 17%. Another group there led by the governor and others in the body will say, no, if you don't count one-time spending, our growth is actually, right around 1% or thereabouts. Help us understand that, Matt.
Sure. And that is, one-time spending, I would argue, is that's what we do every session. We set a budget for 2 years, one time. And then the next legislature can come in and set the budget, and they're responsible for the entire budget. So it's not whether it's ongoing or one time, you're appropriating for 2 years. That's the job of the legislature to do constitutionally. So, and that is, our nonpartisan fiscal staff here in June had a memo of budget comparison like they normally do, and it was 16.3% of general fund that we spent more this session than we did last session. So those are just the numbers of it. I guess you can spin it other ways, other people have, but ultimately, I would hope that that all Republicans would look at, hey, how can we make our budget more efficient outside the numbers and how much we grew? We had Democrats in charge of the executive branch for 16 years, and now the Republicans control all House, Senate, and exec. And I think especially coming into this next session here, we need to take a look at how do we make state government more efficient? Every tax dollar that comes in has a purpose. And not just spend it willy-nilly.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. It's efficiency, and a lot of that, I think, has to do with the size of government overall. And I have grave concerns about our government getting so big. I think that's where you get the fraud and the abuse from at the magnitude we're talking about at the national level. Senator McGillivray, you are on this lawsuit. You are one of the plaintiffs along with Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson and then Matt's father, a former senator as well, and state legislator Keith Regeer. Talk about your challenges and maybe just frame it for us as well, background, but talk about what this lawsuit is intended to do.
Yeah, Tom, let me just back up one step here. Yeah. And dovetail off what you mentioned in the beginning that property taxes have increased. And I have looked at property taxes increasing for three basic reasons in Montana. One of those reasons is in-migration. During the COVID era, with the craziness on the left coast, we had huge in-migration. I don't remember the numbers, 30, 40,000 more people come into Montana, and not just legal immigration into Montana, but we've had illegal immigration into Montana, which also drives up housing prices. Every one of those people competes for housing. And then you've got regulatory issues, which we worked on in the legislature the last two sessions. You know, regulation, like how many parking spaces you have to have in a parking lot or other types of things like that, those drive up housing costs. And then you've got inflation, which dovetails back into our convention of states issue. You know, if the federal government's deficit spending at $2 trillion a year, it's caused inflation. Our dollars aren't worth as much. So all those areas affect property taxes and have caused property taxes to increase. And therefore, that's why in 25 session, we went in to try to address property taxes. But unfortunately, we came out with a bill that was not constitutional, and that's the basis of our lawsuit. So real briefly, one of the big reasons that we're suing here is because that bill, Senate Bill 542, started out as a seven-line bill, you know, seven lines of amendment that created a property tax freeze that would freeze our property taxes to 24 levels until we could get a handle on permanent structure. What happened to that bill in the process is it became a 43-page bill, a monstrosity, as the Speaker called it, that did multiple things. And one of the first principles of constitutional bill writing is you can't so alter or amend a bill on its passage through the legislature as to change its original purpose. So what you and that's very clearly in Article 5, Section 11, Subsection 1. This bill went from a seven-page property tax freeze to a 43-page progressive tax structure on multiple property tax classes. You know, that like there's seven different rate structures in the 25 rates. So it totally changed the purpose. Therefore, it's not constitutional on that reason alone, and there's more reasons than that.
Go ahead and get into that because, I mean, I'll talk about that process a little bit as well. But I think the one that stands out to me is the single subject rule.
That's subsection 3 of that section 11 of Article 5. And that says a bill other than a general appropriations bill, which is our House Bill 2 type bills, can only contain one subject. And so this bill went into three different subjects. It had at least three. Number one, it created a $92 million rebate. That's that $400 that people received. Number two, it created this progressive taxation system, which was a change of the original purpose. And it also subverted local charters. You know, it basically said, well, Billings, you have a charter, but that doesn't count. And we're gonna supplant that with this bill, and then we're going to backfill you. There's another appropriation in there besides $92 million if you come up short of money. So those are three basic subjects. And those are two issues in our lawsuit, the single subject issue, which is very clear, that a bill can only contain one subject. And think about what Washington does, Tom. So Washington log rolls multiple subjects, multiple appropriations to garner enough votes to pass some things that are just pure crap. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened. And we're not Washington. We debate one bill with one subject at a time. And the bill became so confusing, Senate Bill 542, which Senator Hertz on the floor of the Senate on the last day called it unconstitutional, went to a conference committee, came back unchanged. And people were saying on the floor, I think I said on the floor, this bill is so confusing that nobody knows what it's doing. And you said it yourself in your opening, Tom, that you've been trying to figure it out for 2 years. Yeah. And I get calls all the time. People are saying, I don't understand what's happening here. Well, join the club. Well, probably everybody that voted on that bill the last day did not know what it was doing. And that's not what we do in Montana.
Yeah, and I think that one has a lot of merit, Tom. And if I go back, and Matt, I'll have you comment on this as well. You know, and I watched a lot of the legislative session the past 2 years. I saw what was happening with Senate Bill 542, the renaming of it to carry additional pieces of legislation there as well. But isn't that common practice? I've seen other bills that start as something and then they're just used because there's part of the process already accomplished. A couple of reasons, but Matt, isn't that common practice? Or so in that aspect, go ahead.
Unfortunately, it's becoming more and more common, which I think we need to be going the other way. It's as Majority Leader McGillivray said, it's our Constitution is pretty clear on how we do that. And there's other things too. There's companion bills that were introduced, I don't know, maybe four or five sessions back that all of a sudden we're appropriating multiple things. And I've carried them too. I thought this is the way we do it. But looking at the Constitution the way it is, we need to get rid of those too. There's a lot of things that the legislature is turning into, like McGilvery said, more of a D.C. style, and that's not what our Constitution set up the Montana legislature to be. So we need to, I think, slow things down a little bit, be more thorough. And that's why you see the mistakes that happen, mistakes, if you want to call it a mistake, of increasing the rents now on all these multifamilies, that millions of dollars in property taxes that weren't supposedly supposed to be. But when you shove things through at the end and get just sloppy, let alone unconstitutional. These are the problems that we get.
Yeah, and I saw that. I think this comes up, and there was a drafting error that actually applied a higher rate to large apartment complexes, which is what we're discussing here. I'm up against a break, but there's so much to go off of here. Let me, before I move on, ask Senator McGillivray about the process now. Senate Bill 542, you've got a lawsuit drawn up. Like I say, the single subject clause to me is super interesting. I've seen the Supreme Court kind of defend that, but sometimes at its convenience. What's the process here? What moves forward?
Well, are you talking about the process of 542 and what happened to it?
No. The lawsuit in and of itself. Well, will you get a ruling? Are you asking for a conjunction on this? Go because this is a rather bold move from leadership on your behalf, and Senator Hertz as well, who's longtime respected legislator as well. It's not something you guys, I think, considered lightly at all.
No, we didn't consider it lightly. And the process here is this is going to go to court in Gallatin County, where Senator Gault is in that district. And we passed a bill in the last session that said if a bill is challenged in court, it has to go to the district of the senator. So that's why it's going to be taken up in Gallatin County. But the process here is the $92 million has already been sent out, so we can't claw that back. But what we'd like to see is that the progressive rates be thrown out and go back to the 24 rates, and then come back in the 27th session and get it right. And again, because this bill changed multiple times during the process, nobody knew what it was really doing. And as President Regeer referred to, that gets confusing for legislators as well as people who are following the process. You get people testifying on bills. They're testifying on one bill, and then it goes back into the committee, and they totally change it. So basically what happened with 542 is that those seven lines of amendment to freeze property taxes for 2 years got changed into 43 bills covering multiple subjects and multiple appropriations. And in the process, nobody knew what it was doing. And that's the problem. That's why we're suing, because as President Regeer said, this has got, we've gotten really sloppy about these things, and it's gotten progressively worse. And at some point, some senators need to say, enough is enough. Let's get back to what's right, what's constitutional in Montana, one subject in every bill.
I'm excited, actually, about following this along and to see, you know, what is said and what becomes of it as well. A lot of good key things here, I think, that you guys are bringing out. And we are talking here today about a lawsuit that's challenging the major carrier for our property tax shifting here. In the last session, there was reportedly 80%, and this comes from, I think, Department of Revenue, 80% of homeowners saw property tax reductions of more than 5%. They're saying that is around an average of $500 or so. Some counties benefited even more than that. But other areas, you know, where those taxes shift to? Commercial property owners. I noted we saw some increases in businesses. An article highlights the Kalispell Flathead County area with businesses seeing some 30 to 50%. So did we trade one pain for another pain? And then if it's pain, how do we solve that problem in and of itself? Welcome back here to Voices of Montana. State Senator Tom McGillivray is with us, and Senate President Matt Regeer as well. Senator McGillivray, one of those plaintiffs in that lawsuit against SB 542. Hey, thank you guys for being here. I want to talk about property taxes and solutions to them. You know, I think a lot of people have been saying, or this leads to us, them advocating that we need to have a more full on and responsible and mature discussion about property taxes or a tax structure in Montana. Senate Bill 542 was introduced by Senator Galt, and it was a simple, as you noted, Tom, a simple bill that said, let's freeze our property tax assessments. And I liked that, because that is apparently causing a lot of the angst. There's probably some difficulty in that. But I want you guys to talk about, you know, those other ideas out there for property tax relief like this. I'm not sure a lot of them surface, because this approach seemed to be baked in at 542.
Let me just say this, Tom. Because this helps people understand the problem. So what you did is you got a bill here at 542 that gave a tax break probably to 80% of the people out there. And then probably 10% of the people it was neutral for. But then you got 10% that are paying for the 80%. That's the problem. You got unfair taxation shifted to a small minority. And of course, legislators are going to vote for bills that are going to help the majority, because they get elected on majorities. But this is what happened to a gal in Bozeman that emailed me. Her taxes in 2019 were $3,000 a year. This year, they're $32,000. Wow. Now, they put sweat equity into a home. They built it probably in the teens somewhere. And it appreciated because of the things I mentioned earlier. And now it has gone from $3,000 a year to $32,000 a year in like 7 years. They can't afford that. They don't have a huge income. They put sweat equity in that home. So this is what happened to people in the Flathead and the Gallatin. And then second homes. A big shift went to second homes. Now, granted, the governor and others said we want to get the guys in Big Sky and Madison County and so forth. But they also got all the Montanans that worked hard all their lives and have a cabin in the on the river somewhere or something like that. Those taxes are going to go up 70-80%. I've had a lot of calls from constituents with second homes upset about this. So you see, a principle about good taxation is it's fair. It treats everybody equally. But this kind of taxation puts the burden on 10% to pay for the 80%.
Yeah,
I
can't imagine a property tax bill that's $32,000 for residential home, and that's not an uncommon example. I think we are hard workers in Montana. Matt, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, one thing I wanted to add to this that is missing from this whole 80% saved and 10% is the whole other two groups of commercial got hammered. It's not just 10% that are paying it; it's 10% but it's commercial is huge, huge increases, especially here in the Flathead. I mean, it all depends on your county and your property tax payer mix, but also agriculture. Agriculture went up on just raw land, and now this next time it's going to shift onto agricultural residential and like grain bins, et cetera, that is scheduled to go up 50% on that. So there's a huge shift coming here this next year. So those are two large groups. It's not just 10% of residential. So when you hear that 80% and 10% stayed the same and 10% are paying, you're not talking about commercial and you're not talking about ag that had huge increases to them too. So the burden was spread out there, which is to me disappointing as a Republican, conservative Republican that has always fought for a strong business environment here in Montana. And now you got businesses saying, I don't know, where does property tax land? Is there other states that are more stable than Montana that we can invest in? And that, to me, is the wrong direction Montana needs to be going economically.
Well, and the business community has real concerns about that because they're talking about their competitiveness, and there's a lot of competition for business out there as well. And is the state going in the right direction? And look, the governor is proud of some of the things he did regarding that, and rightly so. But it's not solved. So I'll ask you, Senate President Matt Regeer, you know, what solutions are out there? Because all I'm hearing now is the only way we fix this is a sales tax. And maybe that's true, but what are some of those other options out there looking forward?
Yeah, thanks for asking that, Tom. I think there's been a lot of finger pointing and blame and focus on the positives and negatives of what had happened. But looking forward in the future, I'm optimistic that there's different ways and there's mathematical paths forward to actually keep the reductions that were done to primary residences, if not increase a little bit, and then mitigate the damage that was done shifting to ag and commercial and legacy homes for Montanans here. Different ways of doing that, the homestead exemption up to $50,000, that coupled with the tax credit from like hotel tax. A lot of that money is going to our state general fund. Tourists come in, they use our roads, they use our sewers, and the hotel charges the tax on that. It goes to the state general fund, and none of that is staying to help out the property tax owners that are footing the bill then for all that infrastructure that the tourists are using. So something simple as that, giving it back to the city, county where it originated from, so they don't have to charge the homeowners for all that. That would lessen the property tax burden for homeowners. So there's multiple different ways, as well as evaluations. This has kind of been hinted at through our conversation here. Yeah. We do need to take a look at how the state evaluates property. It is atrocious that you have to sit there and just wait for the bureaucracy in Helena to tell you, hey, this is what we think your house is worth this year, and then this is what you owe. That's just too big of a question mark for the people of Montana year in and year out. So how can we make valuations more stable, more consistent, still have locals get their funding, but the property taxpayers aren't having this huge, huge question mark every time they get their property tax bill.
What would, and I've only, this is probably not fair to ask this question. What's the meaning of life, Matt? No, I only got like 20 seconds left on the clock here. So I'm going to move on to some key issues here for the 2027 legislature as well. The budget will be a part of that because there's going to be an imbalance by 2027 and even into 2029. That gets a little more serious. We may pick that up here again as we are talking with two members of the Montana State Legislature from the Senate side. It's Senate President Matt Regeer, Republican out of Kalispell, and out of the Billings area is Tom McGillivray, a Senate Majority Leader in that last session as well. I appreciate your guys' efforts on the Senate as well and how you guys conducted yourself in a pretty difficult session. Maybe we'll get into that as well. I want to move on to more, I think, policy kinds of discussions here as well. But we need to finish up a little bit, Matt. So there's some differences in how people are counting our budget, so to speak, and the growth of government overall. You made a couple of key points in the last legislative session I want to address, and that is, again, it goes back to our tax structure, but we were attempting, or at least there was legislation that was attempting to subsidize our lumber industry and our wood products industry. You know, and maybe it was well-intended, but you made the strong point, and this goes back to a leg of our tax structure, resource taxes. We don't have much of those anymore because, you know, we, I guess, the public or maybe it's a smaller group with an agenda that, well, anyway, you can get into that, have reduced our resource industry to the point where, you know, they are not making an impact when it comes to taxes anymore in Montana. I find that a key part here. I mean, how do we overall look at spending and then right-sizing these taxes, Matt?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do remember that bill. It was about $5 or $10 million to subsidize lumber mills. But that's on top of we have a fire fund. I remember the 23 session, we had $30 million for fire mitigation. And I said, what is that? What? Tell me exactly what you're thinking on fire mitigation. And basically it came down to logging. Like, we're going to pay guys to go out and clean out the brush. And I'm like, didn't we used to do this with logging? Kind of like, yep.
Yeah.
So now we're paying money to clean up the forest when, you know, back in the 90s, that's what the logging industry did, as well as, I mean, you're talking property tax base. One lumber mill that goes out of business, it is amazing the ripple effect that has for property taxes across the county and across the state in lost revenue, as well as lost jobs, income tax. I mean, it's just detrimental across the board. And what do we have, like 45 different lumber mills, I believe was the number back in the 90s. Now we're down to 5. And so that is those kind of decisions, and it's been a cut, a death by 1,000 cuts on one judge's decision after another, the shutting down logging project after logging project, mining project after mining project. That all has a ripple effect, and it is compounded to now, like you see, residential paying the entire property tax burden. So that we need to get back to that, especially now in the Trump era with the tariffs. Whether you like them, you hate them, it's definitely a made in America, made in Montana is what we need to get back to. Of who knows what we can't. Can we rely on Canadian lumber to make affordable housing here in Montana? I'd say no. Let's get back to. Let's make the Libby loggers again. So that that kind of sentiment needs to be pushed. And I think it needs to be pushed now when we've got a federal government that so much of Montana is federal lands, whether it's mining or timber, and to get back to those resources. So I think the time to strike the iron now is hot, and we need to do that now when we've got an administration that has that same vision.
Tom, I want to get your thoughts go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that rare earth minerals in Montana need to be mined.
Yeah,
that's just a huge need for our country, not just national security, but technology that we need to have and that we use every day. And I've had constituents calling me, not my constituents, because we don't really have any mining in Billings, but, you know, people from like the Stillwater area calling in about me talking about legislation to try to move the ball down the road where we can do some mining again in the state. We are the treasure state. We do have a pick and shovel on the flag. So instead of taking the pick and shovel off the flag, we might as well start doing some mining. And that's, again, going to decrease local property taxes, residential, if commercial is paying more because we have more industries.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to mention this, too. During the session, so we were debating that Senate Bill 542. I think I read this letter from ConocoPhillips here in Billings. That their property taxes, they're one of the smaller refineries, the smallest refinery in the ConocoPhillips system, yet they pay the most property taxes. And they were very concerned about the property tax increases they're going to have with this bill. So, Tom, what happens if a ConocoPhillips says, forget it, we're not going to be in Montana anymore, it's a small player for us and our taxes are too high there? If they go away like the Corrent power plant did, that what they used to, the schools aren't going to ask for less, the city's not going to ask for less, the county's not going to ask for less, so that tax base that you lost with a Corrent or a ConocoPhillips goes to all the homeowners. That's why us developing our resources, developing our industry is so important, and property tax is a big piece of that.
Yeah, those groups that oppose this kind of development need to look up from their contribution lists and see the full picture here. because they are actually harming communities, and they're just, well, we know what kind of industry it is now.
Well, and when we're voting for judges, we need to think about this. Are we going to get an activist left-wing judge that's sold out to the environmental wacko movement and the global warming and the climate change idiocracy? Are we going to elect a fair, impartial judge that's going to give us justice? And that's important when you're voting for judges. Like Judge Wilson is running again for the Supreme Court. He's a fair, impartial, good judge out of the Flathead area. And that's something that Montanans really need to think about when they're voting. We don't want activist judges. We want fair judges that will follow the Constitution and the rule of law.
And I know you passed a bill, and I like that bill. It was just basically, I think, a database where people can go and it's government it's a government database, and it's bipartisan. But it's been hard to move that needle forward. So I appreciate the attempts there. You know, it does go so fast. I want to get you guys out of here at 54 so you can get back to the work you guys are doing. Thanks for coming on the air today. I want to move to 2027 as well. But, Matt, I want to have you, Senate President Matt Regeer, also talk about Medicaid expansion reauthorization a little bit, because I know that there was some disappointment in leadership side that there wasn't a full-on discussion about some of the ways that perhaps we can take better care and create that healthcare community without having it so government defended or dependent. You laid out some pretty good statistics about how much of our money is now going to subsidize healthcare.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, in Montana, with traditional Medicaid as well as expansion, now we're at $3.5 billion a year program here in Montana. So Medicaid expansion passed. There was a sunset last session, and they were successful in removing that sunset and keeping the expansion program here. So that's how we're moving forward. But the Trump administration at the federal level and the Big Beautiful Bill had made some tweaks to that. I think some very logical additions to it, like work requirements. And how is that going to affect Montana population? I would hope that across the board be very popular that a single able-bodied adult that is here in Montana that can get a job. We got jobs all over. That person should not be pulling then tax dollars like that for healthcare. That's one thing. So work requirements. I think the program's going to change because of the federal mandates coming down.
A lot of people favor that approach
as
well.
I was in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that was pointed out there is we were talking about this Medicaid and healthcare. And I don't think I'm wrong on this data point because it's a little fuzzy in my mind right now, but I think it was 30% is being in Medicaid expansion particularly is being spent on able-bodied working-age adults.
Yep.
So this is a travesty. You got help wanted signs in every place you look in Billings, and yet you're spending huge amounts of money on Medicaid expansion, which is a trajectory. Medicaid and Medicare are outpacing defense and what they're costing us, and this goes back to what the federal government is spending. It's just not a sustainable model. To be spending that kind of money when a huge percentage of it is going to support working age, non-disabled adults is insane.
Yeah.
And I had a person call me the other day and said they're paying $32,000 a year for their health insurance. These are self-employed people that don't have the benefit of a large company subsidizing them. And so people are in a position where they say, and it's just not the guys that are paying $32,000. It's the guys that might want to pay $500 or $600 or $700 a month. They just can't afford it, so they go uninsured.
Matt, what's on the agenda for 2020? I'm sorry, I got like 4 minutes left, and you know I got a million questions. What's on the agenda for 2027?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic about 2027. I think every session is different. This is going to be a fun one. We're projected to have. We spent a lot of money this last session. There's no way you argue about the percentage of the race, but we are projected to be underwater by 2029, which means we need to right size the budget. I think we need a Montana Doge. We need to come in and take a look at Montana state government and cut out the fluff and make sure every dollar is been used effective. We need to right side, keep the property tax relief there that was for primary residents, but we need to mitigate the damage there on commercial and ag and legacy homes for sure. Income tax, we can get to a flat income tax here in Montana. I think that would be great too. So there's a lot of challenging mathematical problems, but I think that's the opportunity when you can make government work better for the people of Montana. And I think that's the environment we're coming into in 2027. I
appreciate that. And that hit one of Skip's questions here about, your thoughts on the governor's flat tax idea as well, although it's not a true flat tax idea. Maybe share that real quick, Matt. And then I'm going to ask Tom about Convention of States.
Sure. Grover Norquist from the Tax Foundation came in and said, it made his pitch for the flat tax, which all makes a total sense of you earn a dollar, you pay the same amount. Let's all pitch in on what we make here to fund state government. But then also the same thing, we need that to move that back in property tax. We have the most progressive property tax now in the state. I mean, we need to make that a little more flat and fair across the board too. So income tax, flat taxing, and give more relief to the income earners as well as the property taxpayers. And I think it can be done.
Yeah, and I think people need to look into that as well. There's a growing information movement behind the flat tax idea. Senator Tom McGillivray as well, I think you made some progress on a move for a convention of states for Montana to join others who have called for it. As you noted, it would hit two areas, term limits and also a balanced budget.
Yeah, we're just looking for some fiscal restraint. That probably the focus is on Washington. And again, you're spending over $1 trillion in interest payments a year. What can you do with $1 trillion that you're just now throwing away on debt service? And that debt service is looking to go to $2 trillion here in another 10 years if we stay on the current trajectory. So it's clearly not sustainable, and the insouciance of Washington, if they just won't acknowledge that they have a problem, a spending problem, is requiring the state staff to step in and say, provide some discipline through a balanced budget amendment or some type of amendment that restricts their spending ability to call them to account. And when the Constitution was developed, they gave the states the ability to do that. And it's the state's time to step in and require some discipline out of Washington so that the inflation that we're experiencing with housing and everything else will not continue and just destroy us.
Did you pick up any votes in this last session?
Well, President Regeer and I are working together. Matter of fact, we just had a call before we talked on the phone today with you about working on getting some of the more conservative Republicans and others to get on board. And so we're optimistic that we can pick up some votes and get it done this session.
Well, I know so much of the work that you guys do is not always in front of the camera or on the radio. A lot of it is behind the scenes. And it's a ton of work, too. I'm glad you guys both enjoy it. You're both pretty good at it. Thanks for doing it for the people of Montana, Senate President Matt Regeer and Majority Leader Tom McGillivray. Matt, thanks, sir. Have a good time, okay? Enjoy yourself.
All right. Thank you, Tom, and have a great day, Montana.
Yeah, and Tom McGillivray, same to you. Looking forward to catching up with you guys again, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.